Hello, everyone. My name is Richard. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Richard.
My name is Kyle. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Kyle.
And for the last 12 weeks, we have sat here and just bloviated away. We've provided an excruciating experience for you. And we have monopolized almost every meeting and saved approximately a half a minute for sharing. And so we reflected on that a great deal, and we thought, you know what? We feel that we've really come to like know you guys to the point where I'm thinking, like, you're not my friend. This is our entourage, Kyle. These are the people that have come here and withstood the ordeal of our excruciating explanations of the big book and hung in there and came back, even though your sense of better judgment probably told you not to. But here you are. And we're so happy and so delighted that you hung in there with, and we're extremely appreciative that you did that. So we wanted to turn it around on you guys. And, you know, we've done a lot of things in these last 12 weeks. So I'm going to take a little few minutes and I'm going to reflect on what we've done. You know, we can't really start now on step 4 with the last day here. It just wouldn't do the step justice. But, you know, we did do a good job on 1, 2, and 3. I think we did a good job on 1, 2, and 3. And in a way, 1, 2, and 3 is just, you know, I can't. God can. Why don't I just let him do that? And we hope that, you know, you go out from here, and if you haven't done the steps, maybe you find that sponsor and say, look, I'm ready to take that step. Because that's nothing we're really qualified. We can't take the entire group through the fourth step. Come on, that's something you do with your sponsor. We certainly made it clear about these notions, some of the notions. So I'm going to recap a little bit of some of the things that I've hoped that we provided. And some of the things that I think, you know, that I want to let you know that I've learned from you guys, because this isn't we're sitting here as the authoritative voice of what AA is and what AA is not. And I think that's one of the things we tried to be very clear on from the very start, is that, you know, we are not the gods of AA, that we're not here to tell you guys how to do things. We're just here to express the way we did them and how we feel about them. And we hope that they've given you pause to think and say, maybe I should consider it this way, or that's another interesting way of looking at it. Last week, Kyle and I got into a little bit of a backstage little riot here when he was given permission at the end of step 3 to go forward, where I would have demanded a reread. Right? Remember? But that's the beauty of AA. It's not just one person that can tell you this is the direction you need to go. There's lots of bits of information, and we're all on our little spiritual journeys, and for every nut in AA, there is a bolt. You know, so it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? If one person doesn't resonate with you, keep going to the meetings. You'll find someone that does resonate with you. And I hope that's something that we've conveyed in this. We also said in the beginning of this little sojourn that we were going to treat this text as an eminent text. And an eminent text is just like the Bible is an eminent text, because people can read it again and again throughout the ages, and it has meaning to contemporary people, to modern people. So we said, let's look at the big book and say, does it still have relevance? Does it still stand a modern read? You know, and with the chapter to the wiser side, which is a whole other meeting, I'm going to say the answer is yes, it does. It still very much resonates and explains the phenomenon of alcoholism. It still very clearly elaborates the physical allergy, the mental obsession, and the need for a spiritual experience. And we went over and over again how the stories, all of the stories in the big book, just basically said the same thing. Everybody who relapsed in the big book did so because basically they didn't enlarge their spiritual experience. We said we were going to treat you all like newcomers. And why we did that is in the hopes that when you're working with someone else, you'll remember some of this stuff and kind of give it to them. You know, because we know that a lot of you, you know, there's a lot of experience in this room. We're not going to sit here and say, hey, you know, we are the most experienced AA people here. That's just not true. What we're going to say is that there's a wealth of experience in this room. And what we've tried to do is provide some more information so that when that new person comes to you and says, hey, I want to work with you, especially those hard-headed ones. I'm looking at Mark over here now. Everyone would like to know. That you might be able to pull out some of this information because we've did some interesting things. We like to feel that we challenge some of the basic concepts of the book, and not so much to challenge and say that they're not true, but to challenge and give you an opportunity to think about them for yourselves and say, does that resonate for me? Is that true for me? We took the loophole out of we agnostics, and we gave nobody an option to get through with it because we just merely addressed the question of what if there is no God. And we flatly said, if there is no God, then just take an O and stick it in God and make it good. And be good. Because if you're not good, life is a living hell. And that we all know. Because we're here sitting in Alcoholics Anonymous. Nobody here came in on the wings of victory. We all came in here because something terribly went wrong. And we were suffering a great deal. So, you know, we also said, hey, you know, you're so set up in your intellectual pride, which is one of the big hang-ups that we identified early on in the book. Intellectual pride is something that holds people back from accepting any kind of spiritual help. That's okay. Live in your spiritual pride, but every day wake up in the morning and for about 5 minutes turn around. And if you don't believe in God, just say to yourself, look, write down, this is the person I want to become. I want to become a better dad. I want to become a better husband. I want to become a better worker. I want to become a kinder human being. And we found that very few people actually write in there, I want to become a miserable bastard. I want to rip everybody off I ever met. I might want all the marbles. But basically that good that we all struggle to kind of achieve has to do with something about caring about other human beings. And when we find ourselves in the morning reflecting on things like, how can I become a more caring human being? And then we invited the group to say, and then sit quietly and ask yourself, how can I do that today? If you can't ask God, ask good. And quietly sit there and ask yourself, and then you'll hear two voices. And one voice will, if you're early on in the program, one voice will say, screw this, this is bullshit, get out of here. That's the alcoholic. And if you're early on in the program, there'll be a tiny, small voice in your voice saying, look, this is what you should do. This is what will make you that better person. And we urged you to listen to that voice. And if you listen to that voice, and if you practice that little routine for 6 months, our guarantee to you guys was that you would have a different relationship. You would have a different kind of feeling about what that power greater than yourself actually was. So we hope we did a good job with that. And we tried to really drive home the notion that the truth, there is one truth, but the paths to that truth are many paths. And once again, getting back to that we are not the authoritative voice of AA, we invite you all to explore your own spiritual paths. Because we're all spiritual beings. And we all have paths to go. Some of us make it more difficult to get through that thicket than others. But you know what? Maybe you need every little blister. Maybe you need every little relapse, every little bleeding, you know, face, bloody nose, whatever it takes you to get sober. You need all of it to get to the point where you say, I can't, he can, why don't I let him? Then the last thing I want to say before I turn it over to Kyle, and by the way, after that, we're going to open it up to you guys because we're going to turn it around. We want to hear from you about what you think this last 12 months, because Denise has been giving me the faccia bruta since the beginning about this sharing and opening up and make sure you leave 5 minutes. We haven't left a minute. As I want to say that we made a lot of close friends here. We love you guys. You know, we are so appreciative of the fact that you spent so much time coming here to listen to us pontificate. And you know, because guess what? Teaching, in a way, if you think about it, when I speak, I speak to, you know, give you my opinion, but I speak to reaffirm my own beliefs. So each time you get the opportunity to do something like this, you get the opportunity to reaffirm your own beliefs. And by reaffirming my own beliefs in a group like this, it has made my meditative practice stronger. It has made my beliefs stronger. So for that, I am extremely grateful to this group. Thank you all. You are all officially part of my entourage now, okay?
Yay.
Now, I don't have any fancy automobiles, and I'm not a big Hollywood actor, but, hey, what the hell, right, Colin? They're in the entourage, Colin?
They're your entourage.
Okay. Well, with that being said, I'll turn it over to Kyle. Go ahead, Colin.
Thank you very much. I would first, on the record, like to take a brief moment to thank Rich for asking me to do this. This has been a remarkable experience for me. You know, I attend a lot of big book meetings. My sponsor took me through the work as laid out in our book, Alcoholics Anonymous. I was a like hardcore scary thumper for a little while there. I'd like to think I've softened a bit and become a bit more open-minded, which is really what this is all about, you know. But doing this workshop has been the most wonderful educational experience for me. You know, you get something through it every time. That's why 80 years later we're sitting here on a Sunday night going through this book. Right, because we get something new out of it every single time. I'd like to reiterate a couple of things that Rich talked about, how we are so not the AA authority. Ours is not the definitive approach to the text. You know, and anyone who thinks there's only one way to do this really needs to attend more big book meetings to hear some conflicting opinions. You know, we talked a little bit about this, and there is no way we were getting through the entirety of the fourth step in an hour. It cannot be done. You know, I've attended one other big book workshop before, and you know, somebody asked me last week, what does your tenth step look like? What worksheets do you use, right? At this workshop, they bust out a worksheet. It's like, all right, check the box for the turnarounds, right? That's not a fourth step. You got to write. At very least, I did. You know, I'd written out a paragraph at least for each one, you know, ultimately, I'm not your sponsor. We promised you we would take you through the work as if you were newcomers so that you could gain an understanding of how we approach this text. But it's ultimately not our responsibility to take you through the remainder of the work. I really think we did an awesome job laying the groundwork. And there's some new people here, which is really, really cool. So if you got something out of this, God, we spent 8 weeks trying to get you to identify with the idea that you have this disease. And if you're there, if you really feel that, if you identify with that thing where once I put it in me, I want more. And the insane thought that maybe this time's going to be different, then please, I'm so sorry we couldn't take you further, but find someone to help you change, because that's what it's all about. You know, it took me a long time just doing half measures before I was really ready to go through this work. And it is called work for a reason. I've had people tell me that this is a very, very easy thing to do. It's the easier, softer way. Bullshit. This is hard work. It's hard work, and it is not for the faint of heart. You have to want this. A lot of people need this. My dad was so lit today. And, you know, a lot of people need this. And a lot of people say they want it. But if you gain nothing else from me over the course of this workshop, then trust and believe that talk from an alcoholic is cheap. And if you understand that for us with this disease, that to drink is to die, then I really hope you find someone to take you through the work. I personally got more going through We Agnostics this time around than I think I've gotten in a long time. this has just been the most, you are not my entourage. I am not deserving of an entourage. But I've met so many wonderful people here, and I've learned a lot of things from you just talking after the meeting. It is always an excellent reminder that we all are in our individual lanes on a highway that's as broad as creation. And just because I believe something to be true for me does not necessarily make it so for you. Working your program probably would have killed me. The same could just as easily be true for you, trying to do it the way I did it, the way I continue to do it. So again, we're up here trying to relay how we went through it, how we know the text, how we were taught the text. And if you got nothing out of it, then firstly, I'd like to apologize. And secondly, I'd like to possibly suggest trying to practice a little more open-mindedness, because the meeting I get nothing out of is the meeting I walked into with a closed heart. It's really that simple. I have time, right? I can keep bloviating for a couple more minutes. Cool. Then I'm going to do that.
Okay.
We did not get to one of my favorite things in the big book. We're literally two paragraphs away from where we ended. But on page 64, it talks about how though our disease resides in our body and in our mind, we were also spiritually sick. And how many times, you know, going through There Is a Solution and more about alcoholism and reading Bill's story and Jim's story and Fred's story and the man of 30, did we hear that if we really have this disease, our relapse lies in failing to enlarge our spiritual experience, right? And it's not, I really wish it was quite as simple as just praying and meditating every day. But what does that look like? What does reaching for God look like? That looks like really practicing these principles in all of our affairs, in continuing to take inventory and review, because just because I am a recovered alcoholic does not make me perfect. My character defects crop up in new and exciting ways every single day, and it is something I have to be vigilant and thorough about working on. You know, So please, the next time somebody tells you there's only two parts to this disease, remind them that to be alcoholic is to have a spiritual sickness. And if the sickness is spiritual in nature, there's probably only one thing that's going to save us. But we did not get there, which is vexing. You know, that frustrates me. But hey, you never know. Maybe in a year we can come back and do another 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm quite sure you're all very eager for that. I love each and every one of you dearly. And that's not words. It is my privilege to love you, because people just like you welcomed me into this program when I still stank of my last drunk. And you teach me so much just in offering me commentary after this workshop, in a hug before the meeting, and the kindness you walk in. You continue to teach me each and every time I come here, and my boss is very, very excited that I'm now free on Sunday nights. So I probably will not be able to make it here much in the future, but you know, I still to this day have a bit of a problem with saying no to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if I'm not careful, I wind up with a commitment every day of the week. But, and I speak often. My sponsor's a firm believer in speaking. And every quarter I'm like, nope, this is the quarter I'm taking off, you know, and it hasn't happened yet. But I can confidently say that doing this commitment here with Rich has probably been one of, if not the best thing to happen to me in sobriety. And the beautiful thing is, once you go through the work, it's just a never-ending parade of miracles. Even the trauma, even the bad things, because I have changed, I would not give up my worst day clean for my best day drunk. And there's been some dark times in sobriety, but I would not trade it at all. You know, so this has just been the most wonderful experience. And people talk a lot about how gratitude is an attitude, and it's not. Gratitude is a behavior. I can say I'm grateful till I'm purple in the face. But if I don't continue to carry this message into other meetings and to take people who, for some strange reason, ask me to take them through the work, then how grateful am I? You know, Rich once talked about how, you know, in our meditation, we ask for the right direction. He gave this funny example of, I'm quite sure God's not telling me to kick the dog or beat my wife, right? But I don't think people are quite all that evil. It's a little simpler than that. You know, it's not, God's not telling me to be an awful person. No, but when you reach for God, you know, because I think one of the cooler things we did was we tried for all that it might not be our place, we did try to challenge the recovered alcoholics in the room. And when you talk to God, is God telling you to be judgmental? Because I hear a lot of judgment from a lot of recovered alcoholics, you know? And by all means, judge if it keeps you safe. Hate if it makes you brave. I don't really think that's what this journey is all about. And that is certainly not what I hear in my heart when I meditate. So, inventory that later. I can talk all night about how grateful I am and what a wonderful experience this is. And I've heard some negative feedback, but I'm not often proud of myself. I'm a little proud of myself because this was really great for my program, and I think I've helped some people. Not a lot, but if one person got one thing out of the 12 weeks, if one person got one thing that my dumbass said, then that is a privilege. And I have spoken quite long enough. So I apologize again that we could not give you the remaining steps. But I will give out my number to anyone. This is online. I will continue to listen to it because I love hearing Rich talk. Thank you, all of you, for being a part of this journey with me. It's been an honor. Did you have something?
I had something I wanted to say, Carl. Sure. Before we open it up, it's also been a pleasure for me to have you here.
Thank you.
I had a dream, you know. I had a dream 2 weeks ago, really, really clear. I wanted to share it with you guys as the last thing, the last word. And in the dream, there were two different realities, like two alternate dimensions. I'm a science fiction guy, you know, and there were like parallel universes. And Laura's heard this story. You have to sit through it again, Laura. It's just an excruciating night for you. And in this universe, there was like this one dimension. It was like kind of like this dimension is now. It's like it was, you know. People are happy, people are sad, you know, if you get angry, things happen good, things happen bad, all kinds of, you know, just everyday life. And then this other place, because people were disappearing, and that's how come I knew there was some alternate dimension, because people were just disappearing. One of them was my wife. She kept, like, disappearing. And I finally went, and I saw my wife, she was in the alternate dimension, and there I was with her. And it was wonderful. I mean, people were kind and loving, and it was a considerate and caring universe. I was like, wow, this is like really great. You know, I don't want to go back to the other dimension. The other dimension was okay, but it was like, you know, ho-hum kind of deal, right? But so I'm looking around going, how the hell can I stay in this dimension? I don't want to go back to the other one. So now I'm like a scientist. I'm looking, what are these people doing to stay in this alternative dimension? And Gina knows, I actually woke her up and told her this dream verbatim. And I looked and I said, oh, look, the people in this dimension, oh, they're very kind and considerate to one another. They're very loving and caring. And I'm not talking 12 steps here. I'm talking, honey, I'll do the dishes kind of kind and caring. You know, just very nice, nice people treating each other in a loving way. And they were in this wonderful dementia. I was figuring out how the hell can I stay here, because basically my nature is not kind and loving. I'm really basically selfish and self-centered. Right, so I'm like, wow, of course I haven't been in this dimension. This dimension is like an alien universe to me. And I'm like, damn, I want to stay in this dimension. I want to stay in this dimension. I woke up and I was totally conscious and I heard this up. That was not a dream, Richard. That is reality. That is what happens every day when you're a kind and loving person. You sit in a place where it's just beautiful. And if you're the other guy, then you're back in the ho-hum reality. Mm-hmm. And I thought the thing in our big book, it says when we were admitted we were alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, I realized how much of my suffering on this earth is due to my own making. How much am I creating of my own misery? Mm-hmm. And to me, the answer was very clear. All of it. I'm creating all of it. It doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. Bad things happen. But how do I deal with them? You know, Malcolm X said it beautifully. It's not what people call you. It's how you respond that determines who you are. So I just wanted to do that, and then we can now open up the questions.
Cool. Thank you guys very much.